We're going to read this morning from Luke's Gospel. We're in Luke chapter 2, picking up at verse 25. Now, the point in the narrative that this happens is after the birth of Jesus. You might think we're jumping around a wee bit, but well, we're allowed to do that. Jesus has already been born. We're not skipping ahead in the story. But here's the thing that we're going to be reflecting upon. There's this character, Simeon. Simeon was waiting. He was longing for God's Saviour to come. And when Simeon meets Jesus, he realizes that this waiting has been fulfilled. And so in many ways, Simeon epitomizes this waiting that God's people were doing. Of course, the fullness of that waiting is that he comes to see the Christ child. He comes to see the baby Jesus. So here's what's happened. It's on the eighth day, and Mary and Joseph have gone into the temple to give an offering. We're told by Luke, that's the person who writes down this account in the Gospel, we're told by Luke that they offered a pair of doves or two young pigeons. And what Luke is letting the reader know, although it might not be immediately obvious with our 21st century perspective, what he's letting the reader know is that actually Mary and Joseph were really poor. They didn't have the money to give the fancy sacrificial lamb that would have been done in accordance with the Jewish law. All they could afford was a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Well, in this context, in this scene, they meet this guy, Simeon. And that's where we pick up at verse 25. And I'm going to read that for us now. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon. He was a righteous, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Amen. And thanks be to God for this reading of his word. This morning, we're thinking about waiting. Now, there's lots of waiting that we do around Advent. Now, lots of people seem to quite like the John Lewis adverts and say that it captures Christmas so much. Well, we've got a little video back from 2011 that helps us think just a wee bit about waiting, and it's the John Lewis advert from then. I'm looking to Karen to see if that's good to go. Definitely got the cute factor, hasn't it? For all that it's wrapped up in all the extra things that we have at Christmas, all the trappings of Christmas and the things that we count down for. It helps us explore this notion just a little bit more, does it not? How good are you at waiting? If it's to do with the Christmas stuff, how good are you at waiting to receive presents? Or if you think you've got an absolute stonker of a present to give someone, how good are you at waiting to give that to someone? What are some of the other things that we wait for? Perhaps you wait for cheese to mature, maybe if you're into that and you like your blue cheese. Perhaps you might wait for the sequel of a film to come out with eager anticipation. You're excited as you wait for it. Or maybe there's things that you'd rather not wait for. Perhaps wait in that call centre queue as your blood pressure goes up, 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 and up. Or perhaps you're not so good at waiting for the parcel that you ordered on Amazon to be delivered. You got the text saying that it'd be delivered between 1:13 and 2:13, and it's now 3:43, and you're starting to get a little bit irate. How good are you at waiting? With all the extra bits around Christmas, it's something that we think about, it's something that we encounter. But when we think of the kernel of it, the true essence of this season of Advent, where we light candles to count down, where we open doors on our calendars, we realise that waiting is something vitally important. God's people were waiting for the promised Messiah. That is one who God had promised would come, and we read that in the Old Testament books. God's people were waiting. When we had that bubblegum and fluff event, those 2 weeks ago, where we're getting the young folk to think more and more about waiting. How significant it was, leaving them to have a wee head scratch as they think about waiting. And so here's my question to you. Are you good at waiting? Think to yourself. Or think about the folks that you came along to church with this morning. Are you good at waiting? I once heard a preacher refer to what they termed the elbows of accountability. Now, it's at this point, if you've come along to church with someone that knows you quite well and the preacher asks a question, how good are you at waiting? That's when the elbows of accountability start to kick in as you give your neighbour a wee nudge, knowing that it's either one or t'other. Have a think yourself. Are you good at waiting for the practical things? But so too in the spiritual sense, when we hear of those who waited all those years ago, how good are you at waiting? Particularly when we think of God's promises. So, God's people, they were waiting for someone to come. They were waiting for the Messiah. Now we could go on and we could give many examples of people who wait, people who are good at waiting, people who are inspirational waiters. Not in terms of bringing food, but you know what I mean. People who maybe wait as part of their job. People who have waited out of love for someone to return. Maybe even people who have waited out of desperation. Now these are all encouragements, and good encouragements at that. I'm sure between us we could think of a few inspirational characters who have waited over the years. I'm sure we could help one another to be a better person, to be better at waiting. But when we're thinking about waiting in the spiritual sense, well, no matter how fine an example we think of, these things all start to fall short. Because God's people were waiting for something quite different. They were waiting for their Saviour. They were waiting for someone to lift them out of the dark, dark experience that they found themselves in. In the time that Jesus was born, the Romans were ruling, they were causing grief and strife for God's people. The times were undoubtedly dark. The times were undoubtedly challenging. The prophets that once spoke, well, they hadn't been heard for centuries. Things were desperate. This was a waiting like no other. And then we hear of the likes of Simeon. What a wonderful inspiration he is. Because in many ways he epitomizes that waiting. That waiting that's founded both in the confidence that he gets from reading what's put in the Old Testament about a promised Saviour, a promised Messiah, one who would come to rescue God's people. But so too he lived that out because he knew that God, by his Holy Spirit, had said that he would not see death before he saw the Lord's Messiah. Simeon epitomizes that whole notion of spiritual waiting. He puts it into action. And Luke, that's the gospel writer that records this account of Simeon, well, he helps us to understand quite a lot about Simeon, quite a lot about the nature of that waiting that he did. So let's just have a wee bit of time just to learn a wee bit more about the nature of that waiting. Well, firstly, we can know that Simeon's waiting was genuine. He wasn't the type of character that would clock watch. Keep on thinking, well, I wonder if it's here yet. I know I said, but maybe it's here. Well, I'm not sure. He's not the kind of character that would just go and peer his head around the door of the temple. Anyone arrived that looks like a Messiah? No, I'll get back to what I'm doing. Simeon was not that character. It said this, he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The language that we use in this translation perhaps leaves us wanting a bit. Because what it doesn't quite convey is just how much emphasis there was on that nature of waiting. It's a longing. It's an expectation. It's not like waiting for a bus. Quite different. The Message translation, that's one of the translations that we have, a different translation of the Bible. Wait for my clicker to work. Here we go. It says this. This is the same verse, verse 25, that says he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. It says there was a man, Simeon by name, a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. Here we start to see what Simeon's day-to-day existence was. He lived in the prayerful expectancy. That's written up there. I don't need to pronounce it right. We start to understand that this is real for Simeon. It's not clock watching. It's not vain hope, wondering when it will come about. He lived this out. He longed for that Saviour to lift them out of the dark places. Here is one who trusts in God. God had revealed to Simeon by his Holy Spirit that he wouldn't die without seeing the Messiah. And here Simeon lives that out in his very being. He lives out that prayerful expectancy. And Luke really helps us to understand that with the words that he uses. There's another element, though, that's really important to understand with this guy, Simeon. And that is to say that actually he bucks the trend a little bit. In fact, quite a big bit. You see, when we look through the rest of the Gospel just doesn't start and finish with the Christmas narrative. When we look through the rest and when we see the life of this person, Jesus, we see that there's lots of different reactions to him. People who keep him at arm's length. People who are from Israel, who know all this expecting, all this waiting. But when they see Jesus, they go, no, I don't think so. They keep him at a distance. In fact, they want to run him out of town. But here we see Simeon and also Anna, who follows in the narrative after Simeon. Actually, they were devout. They were longing. They were waiting. Here's a wee quote that I came across. Nearly the whole nation was profane and irreligious. That's the kind of words that a guy like John Calvin would use. But here's the thing, they despised God, and yet a few worshippers of God remained. A few who lived out this expectant waiting. And if ever there was an example to stand as an inspiration, Simeon stands in that place. Here is an example and an inspiration. about how we might wait with our whole being, but so too be confident in God. So if we've got a bit more detail about this guy Simeon, if Luke helps us to really understand more about who he is and what he's about, well, what do we learn? You've heard of the game Simon Says, put your hand on your head and all the rest. But what does Simeon say to us? And that might be a bit corny, but here's the thing. I believe that looking at this example of Simeon, looking at this character that Luke has taken the time to record, I believe that there's things that he says to us this morning. Perhaps challenges us about how we wait, how we count down to Advent, how we get ready, and also how we look at the promises that God has made and how we live that out. So I'm just going to look at three short things that I think Simeon helps us to learn this morning. By no means is this an exclusive list, and perhaps if you're looking at this in the course of the week, you might learn more yourself, or maybe from looking at Anna, who follows after Simeon. But here's some things. The first is that when we look at Simeon, we realise that we must be careful not just to look at a snapshot of what has happened. You see, in all that we get at Christmas time, there's often the temptation just to lump it all together. There's our nativity scene. The cradle, Mary, Joseph, sheep, shepherds, wise men, however many there are. They're all there together. It's one scene, and we see it there happening, and it's great, it's a great encouragement. But we miss something of what has been before and what comes after. In our favourite carols, we sing Away in a Manger and we picture that very scene. But we forget what has been before and what is coming after. When we look at Simeon, we see this person who was waiting. This long waiting. And then when we see that realised, we see the nature of his praise. As he cradles the child in his arm, he praises God. All the more this is understood by someone who'd been waiting, who'd been living out that prayerful expectancy. So we're encouraged to look at the bigger picture of what God has brought about, to do that in our own devotion. The second thing, and quite simply, and perhaps it follows on from that quote from John Calvin, is to say this. Don't be feared to buck the trend. When lots of other people want to write God off, write Jesus out of Christmas, just have seasons, greetings, and all the rest, don't be afraid to buck the trend, to remain righteous, to remain devout, and to remain expectant. Don't be scared to buck the trend. But here's the other thing. The final thing that I'd like to challenge us with. I think we need, when we look at Simeon, look at his example, we need to be living out a confident and longing life. A prayerful longing for what God has promised he will do. See, we revel in seeing what God has brought about. We join in the celebration. All these years later, we're still doing so, and rightly so. We live in a season, in a time where we know that God has made further promises, where there's things ahead that we stand firm on. John's Gospel. It's another one of the books in the New Testament where we hear about the life of Jesus. There's this wonderful bit in John chapter 14. And Jesus says this, "And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am." We're reminded in John's Gospel that Jesus went ahead, and that indeed he has a call upon our lives, a call that's firmed in the fact that he took the burden of our sins, that he rose from the grave, and that he went ahead to prepare a place for us. Here's the things that we wait for. Here's the things that we long for. Even in the times when things are dark, when we need consoling, when things seem desperate, we live out that waiting. To finish, picture Simeon just for a moment. Picture his existence, living in that sense of expectancy. And picture him the moment before he met the Christ child. The moment before he took the baby into his arms and blessed them. Picture Simeon going over that very threshold. That's someone at the door, right? Picture Simeon going over that very threshold with that expectancy. Living that out with a sense of hope in what God has said he will do. What are the thresholds that we go over today? What are the thresholds that we go over in this season of Advent, where we live out the expectancy of what God has promised, where we live out our trust in his ways and in his promises to us? How is it that we wait upon the Lord? Let's pray.